Welcome to Small Town Radio, the show with the biggest facts about the smallest towns. I am your host, Maxim, and today I am with my co-host,
Connor.
Hey, he said it. Choo-choo.
Do you want to know why I'm saying it?
Why are you saying it?
Because when this episode comes out, the day before, it's a very special day.
My birthday?
Yeah. Oh, you couldn't see it, but Maxim rolled his eyes trying to think about what exactly it was. Happy belated and early birthday.
Yeah, so it's my birthday was yesterday at time of release. I don't know how it went, but I'm assuming that now that you guys know it's my birthday, you're going to hopefully write some fan mail to leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, let's bail out the USPS real quick with a bunch of fan mail to us.
There we go. I'm hoping to receive an old-fashioned burlap sack just filled to the brim with letters.
That sounds good. Like a hobo stick almost worth of?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, that's how Sam carries it.
Yeah.
You know what would be my dream? Is if this podcast like actually blew up big enough, I would ask people to just send me random stickers in the mail as fan mail, and then I could just like really beef up my sticker collection.
Wow. A boy's dream, folks. A boy's dream.
You know how many Nalgenes I could cover in those stickers?
Six.
Six, at least.
Well, are we going to this place because of your birthday?
No, I actually chose this one because I thought it was interesting and it came to my mind. But it's some place I actually do, when I'm back home, I do live very close to this place. In fact, I drive through it all the time.
Wow. And where is this place?
We are going to Leiden, Colorado.
What?
In the 303, baby.
Oh, yep. Oh, 603. Yeah.
That's an area code I won't remember.
That's what? It's New Hampshire.
Apparently.
You don't have my phone number memorized? Are you not a millennial?
At this point, I can call my dad, my mom, and my brother without my contacts list. So I have in case of emergency phone numbers and then have completely no, I couldn't even call my girlfriend. No.
What happens when we go, if we go to jail and we get one phone call and we're like, well, I'm stuck. I'll call 911 and see if they'll help.
My one phone call isn't to my parents. It's actually to you to tell you we're going to have to delay the podcast recording.
Well, at least then you'll have memorized 603 is New Hampshire. So
yeah, that's a good start. Can I call my victory. Podcast co-host? It's 603, CONNOR11.
Perfect.
One?
That's it. My parents gave me a cell phone. They said, you must have your name followed by one as the number.
There you go.
Well, for this podcast, you can find us on ST Radio Pod on Instagram and Twitter. You can email us at smalltownradiopodcast@gmail.com. You can send us that burlap sack. Can you do that these days? Is that where technology is? Can you send physical objects through the digital space?
Yeah, it just costs like $2 or something.
Oh, okay.
to send a burlap sack like a nice full stamp. Of mail. Yeah, exactly.
Like and rate and review us wherever you're listening. And high five your neighbor, but don't touch them.
Yeah, yeah. Don't touch your neighbor. Okay. Yeah. Can I share my story with you now that we're recording?
Yeah, yeah. We were talking before about we were sharing the insights into the comedy world, and we thought not for these ears quite yet. But we have one story that we picked out that's above and beyond the best story of, how would you say, this century or this, like, you know, AC time.
I would not hype it up that much, but. No, so last week I said the show I'm on was the week after release, and I was wrong. It was the week before release, but we do this outdoor comedy show yesterday that I'm hosting and my girlfriend's producing. We had a bunch of comics in the lineup, and we did, we put it on Eventbrite, we got like 15 tickets sold or something, and we were doing this show in Prospect Park, and we got through the first half of the show, and it was, okay, little precursor. It was supposed to rain all week this week, and yesterday there was like no rain, and we managed to do an open mic.
It's a great
at like 2
song
p.m.
by Blind Melon, by the way.
No Rain?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that one.
Okay,
I've only heard the hit. And so when the show came around, it's at 6 p.m. It was supposed to start raining at 2 to 5, but there was like no rain. And so we get to the park, and we're like, it's beautiful, awesome. Like, we're going to be fine. So we get through the first half of the comedians. And then it starts drizzling a little bit. And we all kind of take shelter in the trees nearby, and it just stops. So we come back out, and we keep going. And then it just starts fucking coming down. Like, about three quarters of the way through the show, we take shelter in these like nearby trees, and we're doing the show under the trees as all of us are getting absolutely drenched
with
water.
How'd the equipment hold up?
It was fine. I mean, the speaker that we use is like kind of a cheap Amazon speaker. It's not like a proper PA or like amp or anything. I think it was like $70 to get total.
Okay, that's not too bad.
So, it worked, but it was just like such a mess because we were all just like sopping wet. No one brought umbrellas, and we're just under these trees like, oh my God. Like, I get up there to bring up like one of the final comedians. I was like, so we're all going to be way better friends after this, right? Like, and I'll tell you what, that's like that show. I'm never going to forget it just because it was going so great. And then it was just like, I was soaked down to my underwear. That's how wet I was.
See,
and
those types of shows are great because like, there are shows, you don't want a show that's really mediocre. You don't gain too much from that,
right,
other than like, you know, going through your material. But if it goes really well, that feels great. But if it goes horribly, then you have a great story, potentially more material. And then, you know, the late night talk show couch story when they go, oh, tell us, you know, about how you started out in comedy. And then that story, you know, there's no benefit
exactly
to a middle of the road show other than
exactly
if you're like touring around.
And what was great about this one is it was an amazing show and terrible, but when it got terrible, everyone was still having a blast. Like, it was so much fun. And we started the show, and during the first comedian, a guy walking his dog through the park is watching at a distance. And he comes over to me because I'm like hosting, and he's like, hey man, I'm a comedian too. I live over here. I've actually been on Colbert and like the late show last week and all this stuff. He's like, could I get some time? And I was like, I mean, probably, but let me just like talk to my other producer. And we put him on like second or third. And this guy was funny as hell. Like, he went up there and just crushed. And I was like, that's so cool. Like, we just had like a walk by of like a basically professional comedian, semi-professional.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, he has credits. He's a credited comedian.
When you said he came over with a dog, I thought he was going to barter time for dog, you know?
Yeah, right. No, he performed with his dog because it's just out in the park. So he's holding onto his dog performing. The dog was just chilling. It was a very cute dog too, but it was a good time. It was tons of fun, but I'm still drying out my clothes because in the Northeast, it's so humid that just nothing dries, so you can hang it up for a long time and it's just going to be wet, which is annoying as hell.
Yeah. Yeah, that's common. That is New England for you. The Northeast, really, all the way through the whole East Coast. I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's brutal. I miss Colorado because I could just, if you got wet in the rain, you stand outside for 5 minutes and you're just, boop, everything evaporates.
Well, is that why we're going there today? Because you miss home sweet home?
Yep, because I miss having no humidity. That's exactly why we're going here. All right, so let's get started on this guy.
Yeah.
So, today we're going to Leiden, Colorado. And I kind of want to preface this with some local insight, just in case it messed with your facts at all. This is a very small historic place, but in the last probably 5 or 6 years, they've been doing housing developments in this area that are very large. So there's been a huge population boom, but it's not actually in the like proper Leiden.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. You're trying to rewrite the history we rewrote with current times.
This is a revisionist.
I know current Leiden history, which is, Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are your population numbers? And because I'm curious now to see what your numbers are versus what I found, given that insight.
So this is Leiden, Colorado. It's in northwestern Arvada. Like, it's not actually Arvada, but it's, we all, if I'm from Arvada, and like, we all consider it kind of part of that, because if you go south of there, it's Arvada, and if you go north of there, it's Arvada. So it's all the same thing. It's in Jefferson County. This is on the western edge of the Denver metro area on Highway 93, which takes you up to Boulder. So this is a town that's like in some hills right before you actually get into the mountains. The population, so what I found for an estimate of the actual little historic area is about 100 people. And then now in the...
I want to see the facts. Send me those facts, man.
I couldn't find a proper census, but there are 33 homes in the old town
area. Are you referring to the article that you sent me?
Yeah.
That was written in 1994.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
No.
Yep.
No.
Let me see. I got that stuff pulled up because I want to point that out. Yeah, here we go. It was written by Stuart Steers, October 3rd, 1996. Published at 4 a.m.
Sorry,
no.
Buddy. Whoa. Because this article was shared the news page like a year or two ago, because it just came up. Like, wow. This is terrible journalism on my part, but I assure you that the actual historic town in this area is very much the same size that's always been my whole life there.
I can confirm that reading what I read, because it seems like this article that was written in 1996 was talking about new developers moving into the surrounding areas. So I'm sure there's like a historic town, and then the actual, well, what it says on Wikipedia now is that it's an unincorporated town with its own water district. Oh,
yeah.
Get fancy.
So the population estimate for this area in 2017, which I managed to find, was 3,937. There's actually a lot more now because they've added quite a few homes. It's a really big development. But we're just talking about the cute little place by the creek with the tiny houses.
We'll get back to this. I do want to talk about this article. The name of this article that Maxim was referring to was very, it was named Down in the Hole, which I guess will make more sense, but it could be misleading to people that don't know of the place.
Right. This article is in Westword, if you guys are trying to look it up. Westword is like one of the most popular Denver kind of Colorado publications that kind of does like a variety of articles. Like, it does like editorial pieces, news pieces, kind of just like about town type of stuff.
And I looked up their media biased, and it was unrated. So
it's back in the day, it was known as kind of the hippie liberal, like new agey type publication. I'd say they lean like left a bit, but for the most part, they kind of just stick to like either editorial pieces or like, check out this new restaurant. It's kind of stuff like that. But it's a great one. It's one of my favorites. I used to read it all the time in college when I was riding the bus.
So do you have the history of the place?
I'll let you take care of that.
Oh, because I didn't write the history of the place, because you usually... Okay. I'll go over this history that I know, that I've written down. I'll summarize from my memory, from my reserve banks of information.
I can just read what I have.
You put me on the spot. I want to show that I've done my research as a former journalist. Okay.
As a former journalist, here's my estimation of what's actually happening.
Let's do this together. So, fill in the gaps. Sometimes in the late 19th century, these people, the Leiden brothers, moved to the, they were prospectors in the area and found a coal mine, which they named Leiden Mine
after their last name.
And I just want to point this out really quick for everyone. If we look at the naming lineage of Leiden, we have the founders Leiden, who named the mine Leiden, who named the town Leiden. And that is one of the least imaginative named towns we have ever explored. And so let's get into the history of places we've talked about. We've talked about OK, Oklahoma, Port Hope, Ontario, which had a fling with the name Toronto. We've had Hampstead, New Hampshire, which is a very favorite of all the listeners. We've had Brewster, Florida, which was also a company town, much like Leiden, which we'll hear about more in a minute. But it was called Brewster, which rhymed with Rooster, which is phenomenal. And we had Tombstone, Arizona, which was not only named ironically by the pioneer Ed, who was told that he'd find his death before finding his treasure, but also the mine that he found was called Good Enough Mine. So
yeah, people aren't very imaginative with naming places.
Leiden, step right up your game.
So yeah, this place was established. The town itself was established by the Leiden Coal Company in 1902. So despite the Leiden brothers kind of being out there since like the 1860s, like,
well, they died.
They did die. Two of them died in 1866 and 1870 in, you know, mining shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, this town, established by the mining company, had a huge diverse population of native and immigrant miners, including people from Austria, Hungary, Greece, Germany, Brazil, Italy, Mexico, all over. When this mine was operational, more than 100 miners worked at a time, and they produced 2,000 tons of coal every day.
That's coal. That's coal, baby.
This is from the Wikipedia. Major events in its history include the Leiden mine disaster in 1910, which killed 10 people, and the workers' strike of 1914. The Leiden itself ceased to be a company town around 1951 when the mine ceased operation. So the mine itself is in this beautiful hogback ridge, is what they call it.
Yeah.
So it's like a ridge with like a spine of rocks in the top, and the whole area has a big fence around it. You have to stay out of it, but you can see the holes where the mine is, and it's just a dangerous place now.
Did you watch any YouTube videos on Hog Ridge, Hogback Ridge?
No.
They were very interesting. They were one of two types that I saw. I only watched three videos, but I feel like I was finding a trend early on that dissuaded me from watching more. It was just drone shots with music flying over the Hogback Ridge. And then there's also another one of someone just being like, this is one of the only mines in the country we can get this type of stuff out of, but now we can't go in there. And that was it.
Yeah, it's very beautiful, very scenic. I take lots of pictures of it. It's a shame that it was used for mining at some point, and now it's unsafe.
Yeah.
Do you want to take on something here?
Yeah. So I some stuff was pointed out to me. So reading that other article, the one we'll get back to in Westward, it said the old company houses were originally four rooms with simple light bulb in each room, with a simple light bulb. There it is, a simple light bulb in each room. And according to Wikipedia, today, Leiden consists of a collection of square frame homes with pyramid roofs that were originally red, trimmed in white. And when I read that term, square frame homes, I did think first that these homes were specifically for square frames. So...
These are only boxy people live here.
Yeah, I just imagined there was one light bulb in each room and then hundreds of square frames just parting around on the floor. Not anymore because they're social distancing. Also, something else you touched on too. So you're talking about diversity back in the day, and it seemed like this mining town was like many of the ones we've seen before. It was a company town, so the company moved in and... rented houses to the workers, and then initially what happened after the company left was someone came in and bought the property and then sold it to a lot of the workers who were there. And for a long time, you know, it was small, 33 homes 100 people. But you talked about diversity during the mining days. And you mentioned there were indigenous people as well as migrant workers from people from Austria, Hungary, Greece, Germany, Brazil, Italy, Mexico, and more, which does sound diverse, but sounds also pretty white given those places. But let's just ask, how white is Leiden today?
Very.
95.66%. And that's not just white, that is New Hampshire white. And I can say that because I'm from New Hampshire, and we should be ashamed of our lack of diversity there. But the mines themselves were interesting. This is a steamy fact. Between 1903 and 1950, it produced 6 MT, which I assume megaton. Means mountains. But there's a smaller chance that it means megatons of sub-bituminous coal. The mine consisted of 4 shaft, which is always a word to make immature people giggle. not me, of course, because I'm mature. which provided access to 2 flat-laying coal seams from 240 to 260 meters, equivalent in feet. We don't need that because we're all aware of the metric system, below the surface to the Lake Creation-Lemire Formation, which, if that doesn't get you going heated, steamed up, you do not like coal mines. It was a room, basically, they, you know, they mined this place out and it became this cavernous area. And it actually has, you must have seen how that changed over time, right?
Not really. Basically, when I moved to Colorado when I was like 4, this area has always been done as a mine. But there are two things that did happen in my lifetime is that after the mine was closed down, it was used to store tons and tons of natural gas because they were like XL Energy like bought it and it was just like, we can just keep gas in here. But there was concerns because people were moving into the area and it's like, this thing is like just waiting to explode. And then after that, now they kind of decide to not do that. And they've been filling it up with water to use as an underground reservoir. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I want to throw in here that's kind of interesting is one of the local urban legends from when I was in high school was the Blue Flame.
Oh, and so that and the Blue Dog must get along well.
Yeah, right. So basically this area, I don't know how factual this is, but it might be. But supposedly the KKK used to meet near Leiden on one of the outcroppings. And people in high school, like there's like all these ruined buildings throughout the valley that are just like demolished. But people are like, oh, yeah, the KKK used to meet in this building. And you drive through there at night and there would be a blue flame. And people were like, if you see the blue flame, that means the spirits of the old KKK are out. So it was kind of this like dumb horror story. We were friends with this girl who told us like, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to drive a girl there in your car at night. You tell her the story. And then when she like gets scared, you just shut off the car and all the lights. And then it's just like a prank. And then like, it's supposed to be romantic. But when I first saw the blue flame, it blew my mind. And then I realized what it was a natural gas pressure relief and burn off. So there's like a pipe and all the excess gas that was coming out, they just ignited it so it wouldn't combust underground. And it just burns blue. But the first time I saw it, I was like, my mind was blown. I was like, it's real? What is this? Like,
see, that's good that you found out the real origin of the blue flame, because I would have just presumed whoever saw it was an extreme racist. So
yeah, right.
I do. So that article, the Wikipedia page, which we love our Wikipedia pages here, was fairly short online. But that article actually had a lot of history, and it was definitely like an extensive feature. And so because it was written in 1996, a lot has clearly changed. You know, there was 100 residents and 33 homes. And as of 2017, Leiden had 1,493 homes. So clearly, a lot has changed. But there's a few things that stood out about Leiden and the area, which was In 1954, the Rocky Flats plant opened 3 miles northwest of Leiden, and the Rocky Flats plant is a nuclear weapons factory.
Yep.
Yep. And is that still open?
No, they closed it in the 80s, but they kept the area completely closed until all the radiation dissipated, and now they're building homes that way. But they have a very large preserve that they're not going to build homes on because a lot of wildlife has returned to the area, and they're actually like thinking about doing a project where this area of Colorado has tons of open space, so mm-hmm. you can just pull up to like a pull-off, go in a gate, and you can ride your bike, you can walk, you can hang out with cows, whatever.
Nice.
So this area, they wanted to kind of do that, so just turn it into open space because there's so much natural wildlife there. There's lots of deer, there's lots of snakes and bees and bushes and all coyotes, that type of stuff. But the nuclear weapons plant, actually, it's a misconception that they dumped all their waste there. Mm-hmm. They actually shipped all of the waste to New Mexico and buried it in a super deep hole. But there's still that like looming radiation from what took place there.
Well, it was interesting in this article because they had a quote from Paul Davis said, basically, well, the direct quote is, "The land from Rocky Flats slopes east. The groundwater doesn't run this way because Leiden is west." And I was like, yeah, you know what? That's the spirit. That is the spirit that we should have about nuclear runoff.
But you know what? Not my problem.
But wait, there's more. So the utility company has acknowledged that the gas leaked from the mine over the years, though it denies any public health hazard. However, mm-hmm. last week, a landowner sued the public PUC, which I'm guessing is public utility.
Last week being 1996.
Yeah, claiming that the leaking gas had contaminated his land north of the shortage facility, creating a risk of explosion or blue flame. And the presence of the gas facility has had other adverse effects on the town's ability to grow. But wait, there is more about runoff. Unfortunately for Leiden, the water from the new well, which was new in 1996, there's a lot of, before, I cannot express how much I think, in my opinion of not knowing water, that the reservoir underground has helped, because they did have a lot of water issues. But unfortunately for Leiden, back in 1996, the water from the new well that was dug for the town was so contaminated with cattle droppings that massive amounts of chlorine had to be added to make it drinkable. The water was more heavily chlorinated than many swimming pools. Some residents compared it to drinking diluted Clorox bleach.
Oh my gosh.
That article down in the hole had so much information about that town.
Yeah, and here's one thing I want to wrap up with this. I should have mentioned this earlier, but why did this mine exist? Well, this mine, actually, they were mining coal there, and they were supplying the Denver Tramways power station in downtown Denver. So they did all this work so that they could power the Denver streetcar system that they had back in the day that ran all over Denver, like an above-ground subway for the Denver neighborhoods. No longer there. But they actually built a line from downtown Denver all the way out to Leiden that ran several times a day. I think it's like 2 times a day.
Yeah.
But
a lot of coal.
Yeah. They would just bring tons of coal
just
in.
Mountains
and out.
Of coal every day.
Mountains. Yep. And, they actually reserved one car for passengers so that people could come and see how the workers lived and worked on this mine. And a resident at the time said, quote, "It was like slumming. Part of the entertainment was to get into the interurban, was basically just to get out of the city and be like, how do the workers live?" And all these rich people would be like, "Oh, they're disgusting. Back to my streetcar."
I mean, one thing that was so sad is because we did have this giant rail system set up in the country. And then after World War II, it was diesel buses that started moving people. So... but yeah, that was really interesting. It was like a trip, like, oh, let's go see exactly what you said, how the workers are for our own entertainment.
Yeah, right. It'd be funny if we did that stuff nowadays, like with millennials, like rich people come to your like tiny ass apartment to be like, let's see how this freelancer lives. Fascinating, isn't he? Look at the way he works in sweatpants.
Oh, man. Yeah. Leiden was interesting because it's one of those towns, well, it's not a, it was referred to as a C word in a lot of places, which was interesting because in the places it was referred to as the city, it was also when only 100 people lived there and yeah. clearly was not incorporated nor a town anymore.
Right.
Because this is like a, this is like a, it's an unincorporated town, but it also seems like a CDP in some ways where it's like
yeah.
part of the metro, but not.
Tell you what, it drives me crazy when places call themselves a city and they have under 2,000 residents. Yeah. Even 2,000. I'm like, there should be a line. You shouldn't be a city till you're at 20,000. And that's solely for purposes of this show, so I don't feel guilty picking a city of 1,400 people.
Do you know, well, we'll talk about it later. I was, there are some places in states that are larger but less populated. I'm like, that's definitely a city. And I'm not entirely sure that it is, but I'm like, wait, they have 8,000 people, which is smaller than some towns that we've talked about. So
yeah,
it's arbitrary, folks, but we are here to be the arbitrators.
Arbitrary, just like our advertisers this week.
Oh, my is my sponsor. My.
What a great sponsorship.
My. Brought to you by My Fair Lady.
This week I'm brought to you by all the stickers I will be receiving in the mail when this podcast explodes in 3 to 5 years.
Not in the nuclear power plant type of way.
Yeah, not in the natural. This podcast is not going to explode like a natural gas reserve.
It's going to explode like a human gas reserve. Oh, yeah. Ooh. I am a child still. Thank you for asking.
All right, well, let's see what this child has to say on this week's Goblin Gallery. The famous, the legendary, the Olympic sport. Let's get to it.
The Goblin Gallery. Bobby Newport. Okay, here we go, folks. So what I have this week for the Goblin Gallery is 6 options for giving the unincorporated town of Leiden a name with a bit more pizzazz. Also known as the Razzle Dazzle Pizzazzle Namer.
Razzle Dazzle Leiden Pizzazzle.
Leiden, here we go. You ready for these name options?
Yeah.
It's spicy, it's sweet, sprinkled on top of something neat. Introducing Cinnamon Colorado.
Ooh.
Number 2. Runoff, cow dung, and atomic weaponry have run through the land, so let's call this town Hazmat. Spelt Hazmatt. And let's give a special holiday to everyone in the town named Matt.
There you go.
There we go.
I have a quick aside. In this area where Rocky Flats is, between Rocky Flats and Leiden on the highway, there's a horse statue called the Cold War Horse. The artist's father worked at Rocky Flats for 25 years, but this horse statue is a horse wearing a hazmat suit with a gas mask. And if you think Blucifer is scary in at DIA, you got to check out the Cold War Horse. This is a creepy statue.
Wait, is it normally with a hazmat suit, or is that new with COVID?
No, he was in it. It's like, that's creepy too, because the suit is like a glossy red and it has like black boots and gloves and this big gas mask. Very creepy.
That's super. Yeah. Well, perfect for Hazmat Colorado.
Perfect for all those mats out there.
Number 3. It's a classic. It's a favorite. You know it. You love it. Welcome to the map, Hampstead, New Hampshire, Colorado.
Ew, disgusting. I hate you.
Number 4. If irony is your game, then you'll love this name. You are now entering No Coal, Colorado.
No Coal, that's a good one.
Number 5. Don't worry, you're not going to be accused of a crime you didn't commit, but there are plenty of these in Frame, Colorado. And number 6. You know him, you love him, you listen to him weekly. Let's give it up for Maxim, Colorado.
Oh, is that for my birthday?
Man, I wish I knew that your birthday was when it was before I wrote that. So, yes, of course.
Of course. this is a gift from all of us, and it was totally for your birthday.
I wrote that. If anything, it should mean more that I thought of you before I was pandering, trying to give you gifts. I genuinely wanted this place to be called Maxim, and now I'm going to make it happen. That's the goal.
There you go. Nice. All right, folks. Well, he crushed it at the Goblin Gallery Games.
Do you have a preference? I'm kind of leaning towards Cinnamon.
I like Cinnamon. I think Cinnamon's kind of a cute town name. Like, but Cinnamon, what comes to mind is mind. What comes to mind? what comes to mind when I hear, like, if I heard like Cinnamon, Colorado, I would be expecting like an old timey, done up like downtown area, like one of these classic like 1800s style places where they just have like candy shops and restaurants. Like,
wow, I was thinking of lots of brothels.
Brother. Oh, like Cinnamon, like S-I-N-N-M-E-N.
I was thinking, I've just been watching a lot of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
And there's a lot of mention of, you know, sex workers, sex positive on the show, you know.
Whores.
yeah, what's yours?
All right. I wrote a news article.
Nice. Wait, when was the date? When was the date of publication? This is important.
This is 2020. This is this week.
All right.
Breaking news. Goblins killed in collapse at small town radio joke mine. By the Goblin Gazette. This past week, 15 local goblins were killed in a collapse at the small town radio joke mine. Sources say the miners have been working in subpar conditions prior to the collapse. One of the two company owners informed the other that the jokes in the now collapsed section of mine had been completely exhausted, and any other further activity could be detrimental to the workers. The owner responsible, whose name is redacted, insisted that there were still jokes to be mined deeper in that particular shaft, despite a survey team reporting that no such jokes would be found. For the past year, workers have become increasingly critical of the mine owner's blatant disregard for these periodic geological surveys, indicating the presence of extremely high-quality jokes in safer sections of the mine closer to the surface. One goblin surveyor had this to say. There was no reason for those brave goblins to be that far down in the mine. There are literally hours of high-quality, relatable zingers only 12 acres deep in the mine. My heart goes out to the families affected by this tragedy. This is not the first time an incident of this nature has occurred at the mine owned and operated by two New York City podcasters. In early 2020, a team of goblins was sent to excavate a section of rock containing highly prized poop jokes.
That cow dung. Does it taste like Clorox bleach to you folks?
Upon displacing the section of jokes, the shaft filled with brown groundwater and drowned 6 innocent goblins. As of release, the Goblin Workers Union is investigating the incident, and charges are expected to be brought against the owners. That was like a news article and a roast of your humor, by the way.
Yeah, what? Basically, let me translate that for anyone who didn't get the translation. All I heard was, Connor, please continue to do Hampstead, New Hampshire jokes. Please keep your name redacted. Please, 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 wordplay, wordplay, wordplay. That's all we want from you. Dive deeper. There's a hole beneath. There's mountains of jokes, MTs of jokes beneath this mine that you can get. And that collapse that didn't actually kill anyone, that's fake news, you know? Oh, man, I hate myself for saying that word. I'll stop. Okay, I'll take the advice. I've heard myself. I've heard the critics. Okay,
so
Hampstead, New Hampshire. I just need to say one more time.
So last night, after the comedy show, my whole body was exhausted, and I was doing my research, and I tried writing a Goblin Gallery, and it wasn't coming together, and then this morning, I woke up and had a Red Bull, and was like, oh yeah, I know what I'm doing. I got this.
I've been writing in an interesting way where I come up with the idea. I've been doing the research the night before, the bulk of it, so I have an idea, and then I'll write down an idea for a Goblin Gallery, but I won't write it till the next day, and I'll wake up the next morning, and I've been running recently, and then I like during the run, I'll see what comes to my mind, and then go back and like write down what things that have formed in my head. And
that's smart.
I don't know why. Cinnamon was one of the first and only ideas I had for a while for a town name.
Cinnamon.
Yeah.
That's a name for a horse, not a name for a place where people live.
Well, I'm sorry to the goblins. I feel like Hermione Granger would not appreciate that.
Definitely not.
Well, it's a house elf that she was claiming for elf rights, not, well. Yeah, yeah. Sad. It's a lot to reflect on. We should take a moment of silence.
I'm not saying your jokes are literally killing our fans or our loyal workers, but I'm not refuting. I mean, the Goblin Gazette did a piece on it. I can't ignore what's in front of us.
I hear what you're saying. You're saying I'm not actually killing our listeners, but like metaphorically, I'm killing the listeners, like in a stand-up yep. comedy type of way. I hear that loud and clear. Connor. More
keep
of
going
same.
The distance. Keep going the distance. Those jokes. Keep reaching for the deepest shafts. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I don't like that.
Oh man, I have a distinct voice. I have a styling. Okay, I'm good. I'm good with whatever I was going on. That shaft has now collapsed of thought.
2 more goblins dead. All right, well, that's all we got mind for you today. Thank you for listening. Once again, find us on Instagram at STRadioPod. Email us at smalltownradiopodcast@gmail.com. Get at me on Twitter at MaximofAllen. And check out Connor at...
Podcasting with Connor. We're sticking there. That's going to come through. Things are in the work. Been down, been out, been moving. And things are coming together, though. I'm feeling good this week, folks. Feeling good. How's your mental health?
Do we want to announce your new address in Providence, Rhode Island?
Yeah, that's great. I'm not going to be living there for 2 weeks, so just send stuff now to them before I get there, please. No, I'm going to be moving to Providence. This will be the fifth state I've lived in for more than 2 months.
Wow.
It'll be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7th or 8th move I've done since graduating college 2 years ago.
That chill. Is,
and I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. I have some good roommates. I live with my cousin for this stretch and new chapter.
Well, everyone, wish Connor good luck after you wish me a happy birthday.
Yes, please. Happy birthday.
All right. Well, that's all we got for you guys. Thank you so much for listening. We love all you loyal goblins. We are not going to send you into unsafe situations.
Nope.
But that's all we got. So we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.